Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted, excited that you're able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get started into the top, I think we've got five stories today, don't forget to like this video, and please do subscribe to the channel if you already haven't. And don't forget to hit that notification bell so that YouTube will let you know when the next Thai Expat Daily Show is uploaded onto the platform. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, as always, down below in the description, you will find a link that will take you to a website with a vast array of podcast players available that host the show. And finally, if you like the show, if you want to support the show, if you want to buy me a cappuccino, look down in the description yet again to buymeacoffee.com. So now that's all done and dusted, let's jump into those stories making the rounds and the headlines here in Thailand. Now, the first one is in relation to, well, a bit of a mix-up apparently. So 24/7 opening hours for Yu Ta Po Airport only, not Pattaya, and that's according to the government. Permission for around-the-clock operations of entertainment places in the Yu Ta Po Airport complex in Rayong province does not apply to nearby Pattaya and Rayong, according to the government. The deputy government spokesman, Tresari Tarasanakul, said on Sunday that the Interior Ministry notice in Friday's Royal Gazette allowing entertainment venues in the Yu Ta Po International Airport and Eastern Airport City project to operate around the clock applied to those places only, not, as some misunderstood, to nearby areas like Pattaya City and other areas in Rayong province. The permission applied only to the boundary of Yu Ta Po Airport, which included the Eastern Airport City site, Mrs. Trasari said. Places in other areas outside the airport are subject to the regulations on normal operating hours, she said. Closing times for entertainment venues in other areas were mostly set at either midnight or 2 a.m. The Eastern Airport City project covers 6,500 rai of land in the Yu Ta Po Airport compound, and the around-the-clock operating hours were announced to suit aviation activities, which must run around the clock, she said. Now, according to the government spokesman, the Yu Ta Po International Airport was an infrastructure project to upgrade Yu Ta Po, making it the country's third main international commercial airport after Don Mueang and Suvarnabhumi airports. The three airports will be connected with a high-speed railway and will be capable of serving a combined number of 200 million air passengers per year. That will promote the Eastern Economic Corridor as a center of targeted businesses and industries, she noted. The Yu Ta Po International Airport and Eastern Airport City project consists of passenger terminals, a commerce and land transport office, an aircraft maintenance, repair and overhaul center, a free trade zone, a cargo complex and an aviation training center, she said. So that's just a little bit of clarification. I think a lot of people thought that Pattaya City was going to be 24/7 and they've realized bad news, that is not the case, and it only applies to Yu Ta Po Airport. But we're going to move along to the next story now. Actually, not really a next story, but some information, because a couple of people have been asking me, do you know what the program for government is? And well, to be quite honest with you, I have no idea, because it's very hard to find out what it is at the moment, what the program of government is. So I have found a little bit of news and I wanted to kind of bring it to you guys here. And we just go through it quickly. There's a load of points here I found. It's basically the new Prime Minister, Sreta Thavisin's wish list. And the first thing on the new Prime Minister's wish list, and I guess this is kind of like his program for government, though bizarrely I have yet to be able to actually find an official document, but let's go through it here. The first thing is to draw up a people's constitution. Now, this has been high in his list. Actually, it was Pua Thai and the Move Forward Party's agreement that this was the first thing to be done. I have noticed that and saw that the petition with 112,000 signed signatures has been sent to the EC. So that actually will become a valid referendum, which will take place in the next few months, I guess. So that's part of what's going on. The next thing on his wish list is the 10,000 baht digital wallet scheme. Now, we've heard about that. Of course, that has to get through the parliament. So there's no, and it's taken out of the budget. So I'm not sure if that will actually pass. But I hear a lot of people talking about it. And as per usual, free money, everybody's all excited rather than the consequences to where this money has come from. A minimum income of 20,000 baht per month per household, a minimum daily wage of 600 baht within 4 years, and that's 600 baht daily wage, a 25,000 baht monthly salary for graduates with bachelor's degrees. Now, those last two items, the 600 baht and the 25,000, now, they don't know if that's really going to be able to done because that would require people to being able to work with employers to get it. So who knows if that'll actually ever happen. A flat fare of 20 baht for an electric train. Military reform replacing conscription with voluntary recruitment. Again, will that go through when you have so many junta-type parties in the government? Another one. Tackling the root cause of PM 2.5, something that was basically ignored by the last government. So are they going to take it seriously? I do not move forward. Had planned to tackle this, so let's see if the Pua Thai party will get onto it. Ensuring Thailand has a powerful passport, enabling a holder to go anywhere in the world. And this is definitely must be a wish list because, I mean, the Thai passport, it's not a very strong passport. And I'm not even sure how they would be able to implement such a thing. I mean, you have to get agreements from other countries. Ensuring LGBTQ rights, access to medical care nationwide via a single ID card, free HPV vaccination for girls age 9 to 11, administrating the one student, one tablet computer scheme, building learning centers, modeled after the Thailand Creative and Design Center and TK Park in every province, and using blockchain to ensure transparency in the state sector. So this is his current wish list. Whether or not he'll get it all, who knows? When you're in a coalition party, basically with your arch enemies, I'm not sure you're going to get everything you want to get, and I'm not sure the people of this country are going to get what they voted for. Now, interesting also enough today, there was a poll out, and the poll basically was if there was an election today, who would be the winner? And from the amount of respondents, they said that if there was an election today, that Pua Thai would lose 62% of its current seats, and these seats that they lost would automatically be taken up by Move Forward. That's how annoyed people are with what has gone on over the last couple of weeks and months here in Thailand in relation to the forming of a new government. But nevertheless, we'll move on to the next story. And the new Prime Minister, Srettha Thavisin, he's been all throughout Thailand recently. And just over the last weekend, he's been down in Phuket and Panya province. And he's been touring around listening to people and listening to businesses and their needs and wants. And you know, I mean, it's more like a, let's say, a roadshow tour at this stage. But PM to look into extending tourist visa to 90 days. And we'll clarify some of the points that we made because I've seen some other publications making some very strange observations based on what he said. The new government will consider extending tourist visa validities from 30 days to 90 days and the easing of immigration procedures to make them more convenient for foreign tourists, said the Prime Minister, responding to calls from tourism business operators for the government to boost the tourism industry. He also said, however, that the proposal from some tourism business operators for the government to exempt entry visas for tourists from China, India, and Russia is a different issue, which has security implications and has to be considered carefully. The Prime Minister met on Saturday with tourism business leaders in Panya province to listen to their problems and their recommendations for tourism promotion and views on the potential of wellness and health tourism along the Andaman coast. The meeting also discussed the possibility of renovating an old airport in Panya to accommodate smaller commercial planes and the promotion of tourism in local communities to boost sales of local products and income of local people. It is reported that there are about 3,000 communities which have the potential to develop a local tourism business, but most of them are not properly registered and therefore have no access to state support. The Prime Minister told the meeting participants that although the Pua Thai party does not have a single MP in Panya, Krabi, Phuket or Renang province, and by the way, they all lost to the Move Forward party, he will treat these provinces without discrimination and will try to boost tourism there because he wants to be the Prime Minister for all Thais. So let's go through that. Firstly, I read, and there's a bit more about this in other publications, but he's discussing now is the 30 days becoming an automatic 90 days. So that, not visa on arrival, but for the many people like myself, if you come into Thailand, you get a 30-day stamp in your passport. And that stamp allows you to stay here. And you can, as you're here, you can extend it for another 30 days for 1,900 baht by visiting a immigration office anywhere here in Thailand. What he's proposing is that the 30 days will be automatically in 90 days when you come into Thailand. So you'll get stamped in for 3 months. which I think is, I mean, is a good thing. It's a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. I think from the point of view of genuine tourists who like to come here for the, let's say, winter months of Europe, I think it's a great idea. It saves them having to get a tourist visa and go through the bother of that. But then again, you're losing income from the tourist visa that you would have had to buy from the foreign ministry. So again, they have to look at that. Also, a lot of the foreign ministries income comes from these visas that they sell. So, you know, there's a balance that has to happen with all that. From the point of view that I think it's maybe a little bit of a bad idea too, is that you might encourage people to come to Thailand who might be here to do, let's say, illegal activities. So working and things like that, because, you know, 1 month won't get you very far, but 90 days might. And if you could go out and do another one, that would maybe be 6 months you'd get, versus the 2 you would have got if you had the old regulations. So also, they'd have to monitor that. How many would they allow in a year for that, etc., etc. Now, the idea that they were discussing about, this is not going to automatically apply to China, Russia, or India. Now, I have seen the amount of publications in the last day and a half that have literally put headlines up that have said, Russians to be allowed in for 90 days. That is not the case, and that is not what he said. Now, this article is from Thai PBS, and I know what was said is true, as a friend of mine was at the conference in Panya, and he was very clear about this. This is not going to be initially for Russians, Chinese, or Indians, as he has said, and he was very clear about this. There's more issues than just being allowed to freely come into the country, and there is security issues that need to be addressed before it will happen. So, you know, a lot of these papers and publications have really jumped the gun with this by stating, because if you look at his words in Thai and translate them to English, it's very clear that's not what he said. So I don't understand where these words, it's amazing how they can take something and kind of spin it to something completely different, which is not really the case. Nevertheless, I do see it as a positive step for Thailand. I do think there is a core bunch of people who would love to visit the country longer and don't really want to get into visa runs, don't want to get into extensions, just want to be able to come in, stay a couple of months, and then go back home. A lot of countries offer 90 days as well. When you come into a country. So I see no reason why Thailand, you know, is no different. Of course, one of the reasons is, as I said, is they sell a visa. So at the moment, you could buy a 60-day and then get your extra 30 or 90 with a visa. But this is kind of a positive approach. I have heard a lot of good things in terms of tourism out of his mouth. It would be nice to see also immigration improve from the point of view of all types of visas. When you get to the country, less queues, you know, getting people through the gates quicker and moving people along. And then when you're here in Thailand, you know, for expats, for people working here in Thailand, for retirees, all those kind of people, is making the rules and regulations streamline them, number one. Making sure that in every province and every immigration office, you have the exact same set of rules. And that these rules are easy. They're not up to the discretion of the officer and what side of the bed he got out of on a given day, you know? Whether his ass was itchy one day and his ear was itchy the other, and that's going to decide what paperwork you need to present to him. This kind of stuff also needs to be cleared up. But this to me is a kind of like a mini form of corruption in a way too, is the ability for them just to decide what they want to do. And that's not fair either. So hopefully we're going to see some kind of improvement in the future with all this. Of course, this will only happen with people and governments and agencies petitioning the Prime Minister to get things done. But I mean, at the beginning, he's going to be out and about because that's what they do. He knows he's made a shit deal. He knows that people and a lot of the population are very angry about the deal he's done with these former or these junta parties. And he's trying to go out there and show, look, I'm the Prime Minister of the people from now on. And as the article also says, he hasn't got a single seat for the Pueatai party for any of those Andaman provinces as well. All voted for the Move Forward party as well. I mean, Phuket, all 3 seats went to them. And those guys in the Move Forward party, by the way, who are the MPs in Phuket, are very proactive on the ground, even though they're going to be in the opposition, but fair play to them. But nevertheless, what do you think about 30 days becoming 90? Would that suit you? Would that be something you'd be happy to see? I'd love to know your comments as always, guys, down below in the comment section. Now, Sureta Thavisin, the Prime Minister, was also down at Patong, and Patong barley trading is possible, and that's according to the Prime Minister. Now, during his visit to Bangla Road and Patong over the weekend, he told local bar operators that extending the closing time for entertainment venues from 2 to 4 a.m. was possible. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. PM Sureta was welcomed to the popular party street by a host of officials led by Wirawit Krusambat, the president of the Patong Entertainment Business Association. The Prime Minister toured the streets, stopped to speak with venue operators, including Prab Keeson, the head of Persona Group, and some very other people. Mr. Weirwood explained that entertainment venue operators were not allowed to stay open to 4 a.m. because of the law that is 30 years old. Phuket and especially Patong would greatly benefit from extending the closing times as the area attracted many tourists from around the world. Now, representing the Patong venue operators, Mr. Weirwood, over the years has repeatedly submitted formal requests to the government to allow pubs, bars and nightclubs in the areas to open later. In 2018, he publicly admitted that the request is a way to end the ongoing pay-for-play racketeering by officials who collect bribes from venues in order to stay open late. And we'll talk about that when we're finished this article. This needs to be resolved. While Bangkok officials continue to stall on giving an answer, it leaves open the opportunity for officials to demand bribes from venues, operators to stay open late to serve tourists, he noted. Extending the closing hours of nightlight venues in Patong by 2 hours from 2 to 4 a.m. could see revenues by Patong operators boosted by 100 million a month. During his own visit to Bangla Road in September last year, the Minister of Tourism and Sports, Piyapat Ratchapakarn, said he has spoken with many tourists and the response was quite good. More than 70% of tourists want to extend the hours of the nightlife establishments at night until 4 a.m. They all agreed to extend the closing times from 2 a.m. because it's still a fun time, he noted. What exactly is this all about? Well, they want to extend the... By the way, I thought the closing time was 1 a.m. in Patong, but apparently it's 2 and they want it to be 4. But I mean, if anybody's ever visited Patong, and we'll all know that places are all open till 5 a.m. in the morning, so I don't know really what they're talking about. Yes, the pay for play, as in pay for stay open, does exist, but everybody seems to be happy about it. You know, they're all open. Nobody's bothering them. I mean, what they want basically is to be legally open so they don't have to pay the policeman to stay open late and break the law when they are breaking the law anyway. So maybe they should be prosecuted for basically admitting they're doing that. And it's interesting how they can admit that they're breaking the law and nothing seems to happen to them either. So that's Thailand for you. So they have spoken about this for, I mean, pretty much since COVID. I remember it was all being discussed during COVID. We had many shows about this and nothing's ever really come of it. It's not because there isn't a will within the entertainment industry to do it. It's because people around the entertainment industry, people who live there, also, they don't want it. And they've made it clear that we don't want tourists screaming and shouting until 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, which it'll be. If they're allowed to stay open until 4 a.m., it'll be 6 a.m. before they close. And we all know that. And I think a lot of places, you know, they say, okay, you can have a reasonable closing hour, but at the end of the day, we want it reasonable and then we want the laws enforced around it. And I think that's where the problems come in for a lot of these entertainment venues, is that no matter what the hour may be for closing, they'll always try to take a little bit more. And I think that will always be an issue. And finally, bar off Bangla Road caught with underage hostess. And this is becoming very common. Now, the police seem to be doing a bit of a crackdown because we're seeing more and more stories about this. But nevertheless, just hours after the Prime Minister conducted his visit to Bangla Road in Patong, police moved in and charged a bar operator for having a minor work as a hostess at a venue serving alcohol and for having a minor work inappropriate hours. Patong police reported that officers moved in to arrest the bar operator, named only as Miss Tong Sai, at the Wee Wee Bar in Soi Sea Dragon off Bangla Road. Miss Tong Sai was charged for allowing an employee under 18 years of age to work in a service place and for requiring an employee under 18 of age to work between 10 and 6 a.m. Seized as evidence was a cash bill indicating the service fee for drinking as a guest. Patong police reported, confirming that the minor was working as a hostess at the bar. The action taken by Patong police is part of the recently launched campaign to target venues and operators using minors to provide services. The campaign launched by the Patong police chief aims to prevent human trafficking and the employment of illegal workers, Patong police noted in their report. The crackdown saw the Tipsy Corner Bar at the O-Top Market raided by Patong police on Thursday night. The operator was found to have committed 3 violations regarding the employment of minors. The raid on Tipsy Corner yesterday followed officers having raided at least 3 massage shops on August 7th, 12th and 14th of this month. And as we brought you in those stories, again, more minors, more underage girls were found working. So please bear this in mind when you do go to the likes of Patong, Phuket and other kind of entertainment areas, that there may be underage girls working there, and to always bear that in mind when you are there. But nevertheless, that is it for today, guys. Delighted you're able to tune into the show as always, and we'll see you in the next couple of days. Stay safe and have a great day. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a new show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.